You know when you're really tired of life and just living, existing in general, and it's not like you wanna die, but living is just a little exhausting. Like you get overwhelmed over every little thing, your favorite things don't bring you joy anymore, you just wanna be alone, you feel like a burden to the people around you, you feel like God is disappointed in you, and you just don't want to leave. But you don't want to die, but you just don't want to leave. Hello guys, and welcome to Death to Self podcast, a podcast navigating Christianity in your 20s and how to be in the world and not of it. So the feeling I just described is exactly how I've been feeling lately. Well, right now I'm good. Honestly, I am. But earlier this week, I was just tired of life. Like, tired of everything. Tired of worrying about my future. Tired of putting in the work and not getting the results that I think I deserve. Feeling like God doesn't love me as much as he loves others. I know. We've spoken about this so much on the podcast, but I still feel this way. And I was just so weak and tired in every aspect of life. And I usually have days like this every once in a while where I just feel demotivated, I stay overthinking, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to speak to anyone, I wish to just disappear from the face of the earth and not have to worry about anything at all, just not exist. And man, one thing about God, he always shows up, he is always there, and he has picked me up from that pit that the devil digs and deceives me to get into. He picks me up even before I get in. He reminds me of how much he loves me and how valuable I am, not just me, but each and every one of us. So this episode is going to remind you of how loved and valuable you are in the eyes of your creator. When everything in life does not seem right, when you have quote-unquote life fatigue, or you're simply just tired of existing in times like that, or if you're going through that now, this episode is certainly for you. So this feeling of not wanting to exist, I think, can come from, I'd say first, like feeling burnt out, which is described as a state of mental, physical, and emotional exhaustion, or having an identity crisis, not knowing who you are, what you want to do in life, where your life is heading, and all of that. For me, it's always come from a place of when I don't understand life, when I don't understand why certain things happen, or when I feel like I'm in lack, or just the fear of unknown, feeling like God is keeping me waiting for so long and he is not doing what I think he should do in my life. Or honestly, overall, just when the devil is deviling, like when he decides to devil. That doesn't make sense. But basically, when the Bible talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, 100% facts. Because sometimes you really can't pinpoint what exactly is going on in your life, why exactly you feel this way. Even when you can see the problem, even when life is not going your way in the worst way possible, it's definitely not an excuse for you to feel like not existing. So the devil is most likely always behind it. All of these emotions we go through is simply a reminder of how human we are and the fact that we cannot do life on our own. We cannot do life by our own strength. We cannot do life by our own thinking, by our power, our money. We need God. Our weakness is a sign that we need God. Yo, yesterday at church, the pastor said one thing that I'm still trying to digest right now. Like, it was so good and it hit deep. Like, he said something along the lines of, God will always allow us to have problems or life challenges that are bigger than our solution. So we know that we cannot do life on our own. We need God. So, for example, you don't think that, oh, with the strength that I have, I can overcome the sickness, or with the money that I have, I can pay the school fees. Like, whatever I have, I can overcome this. You don't think that it is your solution that fixes the problem, but you rely on the supernatural provision of God. And that is what our weakness is. Our weakness is a reminder that we are humans and we need God to take us through life. Like 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of the Lord is upon me." It is in our despair that we allow God to reveal his strength. God is telling us that it's okay to be weak. It's okay to feel like we are not enough, like life is against us. For us to not have the finances, for us to be overwhelmed, emotionally drained, tired of life, not in good health, it's okay for us to feel that way, because that is when I, God, show up the most. That is when he works the best. God never called us to be strong, to be superheroes. If not, then the world would not need a savior. Like, if we look at the dictionary definition of a savior refers to someone who provides support or guidance to others in times of need, helping them to overcome challenges and obstacles. Jesus is our savior, and he does way more than that. He knows we are humans here on earth. He knows how daunting life can be, how scary the future can be, how much our past can haunt us. And that is why he says in Matthew 28 verse 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is closer to us when we are weary and tired. I remember a story that my grandma told me a while ago of a girl walking with Jesus along the beach. And as they journeyed together, two sets of footprints marked their paths. But she noticed that at a very difficult point in her life, she could only see one pair of footprints. And so she asked Jesus, like, "Jesus, where were you when I was going through this very difficult moment of my life?" And Jesus said he was carrying her through, that he was with her all along. He was not just holding her hands through it, but he had her in his arms. So my grandma told me this a while ago, and I searched it on Google, and it's actually a poem. So we're gonna read it together. And it reads, "One night I dreamt a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed the scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. 'Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me.' He whispered, 'My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" And it's the same with us. God is closer in our darkest moments. The devil might plant seeds in our minds and lie to us that God is not with us, that he doesn't care about us. But when we let him in and when we walk with him, he carries us through our dark moments. He is closer in our darkest moments. God is with us in the midst of the storm. And I'm reminded of Mark chapter 4, when the disciples were afraid of the storm while Jesus was sleeping on a pillow, like, so comfortably, by the way. And the disciples And the disciples woke him up like, "Master, how can you be sleeping when we're literally about to lose our lives?" And he said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and storm obeyed him. That is who you have on your side. Like, that is who your Father is. That is who your Savior is. Someone that calms the storm just with a few words. So what can we go through that he cannot take care of? And with regards to feeling like you shouldn't be here, you are worthless and you shouldn't exist, your Creator is a God of zero mistakes. He is a God of purpose. For every single thing that he created, he took his time, thought about it, how it should function, what it should do. Then he created it with intention. He created light and darkness to separate day from night. He created trees so it can give us oxygen. He created the sea, vegetation, living creatures, all of that for a purpose. And then he said, "Let us make man in our own image." Everything is created with such intention. Then what more of you? Like, what more of you? If an ant is created for a purpose, trust me, an ant is created for a purpose. Like, there's literally a Bible verse that us humans can learn from ants. If an ant is created for a purpose, what more of you? And he is also not done with you. That is why you're still alive. If he was done with you, you wouldn't be here. But he wakes you up every single day. Every night you sleep and you wake up because of his mercy, because of his grace, because he chose to wake you up to experience the gift of life and living, because he has a plan and a purpose for you. Like, you need to understand how intentional God is for you to know how purposeful your life is. You need to understand how intentional God is for you to know how purposeful and how valuable you are in the eyes of God. Like, do you really think that how you feel now is worth your existence? You really think that what you've been through, no matter how bad it is worth your purpose and your assignment? It most definitely is not. Nothing that you've been through is worth giving up on life. Absolutely nothing that you've been through is worth giving up the gift of life. It doesn't matter how depressing you think your life is right now, how much pain you've been through, or maybe if we're being honest, it's not like you've been through so much. You're just tired of living. Know that God makes no mistake. And if he created you and is waking you up every single day, you are needed and you are valuable. Something the Bible, specifically Paul, teaches us a lot is endurance. And to endure means to suffer patiently. The Bible will not tell us multiple times about endurance, like in James 1:12, which says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised." Or Romans 5:3, that says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Like, the Bible would not teach us about endurance, about suffering patiently, if life was meant to be easy. Learn to endure. Learn to lean on God. Learn to be strong in his might. Because if we're being honest, yes, life gets easier, but as we live and grow, we would also face a lot of challenges. So are you going to be depressed and want to kill yourself and not want to live every time you go through any hassle that life throws at you? That should not be the case at all, because we have God to take care of our burdens. Like, whatever life throws at you is not even your burden to carry. It is God. It is the potter of the clay. And that is Jesus. Also, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And also, to someone who hasn't had the most pleasant words said to them, and the people around you are the reason why you dread life, guard your heart. Learn to guard your heart. We need to guard our hearts, because everything we do flows from it. Like the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, learn to not be easily offended. I am learning that to not be easily offended. Learn to not let what people do or what people say get to you, because people can really be an asset for the devil to use against your joy, against your peace. So guard your heart, know your identity in Christ, and because at the end of the day, we are always surrounded by people, and people always have something to say. So it is our job to not let certain things negatively affect us. And just shift what is said to you, you know, take what matters. And if it doesn't matter, don't think about it. Don't let it hurt you. Just dump it in the bin. And also surround yourself with the right people. People that love you and care for you. People that check up on you. And when they actually ask, how are you? It's not like a bridge for them to ask you something like, oh, hey, how are you? Can I please have this? I wanted to ask this. Like, no. But people that, when they ask how are you, they actually care about how you are. People that you can trust with your feelings. People that will remind you of how valuable you are. Because sometimes you might not see it. Sometimes you cannot read the label from inside the bottle. So like basically you need others to remind you of how far God has brought you. How valuable you are to God or to them. And what God has in store for you. Always speak to a friend about it. Always speak to a friend about how you feel. Because we know and we've spoken a lot about how the devil loves isolation. Like, it's when we isolate ourselves that he can turn sadness into depression, because he can deceive us more and magnify the problems, the thoughts, the insecurities. So anyhow you can. I know how hard it can be to be vulnerable. That's one thing that I'm also just learning to be, or like just learning to do, is just be more vulnerable with how I feel. Always open up to a trusted friend about how you feel. Don't let the little sadness turn into depression. Open up about it when it's just like a bad day to someone that will pray for you. And if you don't have that, if you don't have a trusted friend that will lead you to God, pray for God to give you friends that you can rely on, that can build your faith. And in the meantime, I honestly, truthfully mean it when I say that my DMs are open. Like Dead to Self podcast on Instagram and my personal Instagram, my DMs are open for us to talk. I honestly mean it when I say that. And you know, another thing that I'm learning to not do when I feel this way, and also advising you to not do, is to not be comfortable in your sadness. I think it's very easy to feel comfortable in your sadness or depression, because it's a lot harder to pick yourself back up, and it's just easier to just lay in bed and cry and not think about it and be sad. But learn to not make the pit that the devil digs a comfort zone. Learn to not make the pit a comfortable place. God's hand is always there, and whenever his hand is stretched out waiting to pick you up, always give God your hand so he can pull you out of the pothole of sadness, of depression, of anxiety, of not wanting to leave. God's hand is always there to pull you out. My routine, or like what I usually do when I feel this way, is first, I always start by journaling, writing down my thoughts, exactly how I feel, which I am an advocate of journaling. Like, I highly recommend journaling. If you're still like, I don't know what to write, my advice would be just write exactly how you feel. Like, you're not writing poetry, you're not writing a novel. Don't try to make it aesthetic and use big words and all of that. Like, write exactly how you feel. Write exactly every thought that comes to your mind. It's like you're asking yourself how and why. Like, how do you feel? I feel sad and anxious. Why? Because I don't have friends. Why don't you have friends? How do you feel about not having friends? You know, it's just asking yourself why and how, and just ride for as long as you can. So yeah, just a little tip for anyone who struggles to journal. And that's the first thing that I always do, is journaling. I also always put on worship. Sometimes I'm mad at God and I don't even want to sing the songs. I know it sounds crazy, but literally sometimes I'm like, God, I'm very disappointed. Like, I didn't expect life with you to be this way. I'm not gonna sing. But you know, that doesn't make God run away from you. His presence is always there. Even if you just want to cry in his presence, have an honest conversation with him, he is always there. Reading the word of God as well. It's so easy to just type on Google encouraging Bible verses and speak the word of God to yourself. If you don't feel better after doing these four things, journaling, worshiping, having a conversation with God, speaking the word of God, and a bonus, listen to any encouraging sermon or podcast. But the mistake that we make is to call our friends before we talk to God. Meanwhile, your friend is not God and your friend is not going to give you that solution. So always talk to God first, and then you can speak to a friend and God can speak through that friend. But you should seek God for yourself first. I've also noticed that most times when I don't feel my best, I usually didn't submit my day to God, like read my Bible or pray, spend some time in his presence at the beginning of my day. And that's why it is very important to pray before starting your day. Not just pray, but just dwell in the presence of God anyhow you can. Your morning routine of talking to God first is like where you put on the full armor of God to prepare yourself for the day, knowing that you have the breastplate of righteousness, you have the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, so you are protected against any weapon that comes your way. So dwelling in God's presence should be the first thing that you do every day. Like Psalms 91 verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. These I will say about the Lord, he alone is my refuge and my strength. He is my God in whom I trust." Ugh, I love Psalms 91. And verse 1 tells us that we find rest when we dwell in God's presence. So enter and dwell into his presence as you begin the day, so you can find rest throughout the day. And I'm gonna end this episode with a prayer. Lord, I thank you for my brother or sister listening to this. I commit them into your hands, that however they feel, if they feel tired of life or lost or worthless, I pray, Lord, that they may experience your love and have an encounter with you. I pray, Lord, that you shall help them to see the gift and the beauty of living. I pray that you shall remind them of your word, remind them of the plan and the purpose that you have for their lives, that they may see life the way you want them to. Surround them with the right people to pray for them and to strengthen their faith. You are Jehovah Jireh, and I pray that you shall provide for them everything that they need and more. And I pray that they shall forever experience your peace that surpasses our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. Just know that life is beautiful. Which accent is that? Just know that life is beautiful. Life is a gift, and it is so much worth living. Enjoy it, treasure it. Every single time that you get, you cannot get the time back. I actually posted a YouTube video about the beauty of living. You can watch, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. Sally Prell on YouTube. I'll have my YouTube linked in the show notes. But yeah, my apologies for not posting last week. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Dead to Self Podcast, and my DMs are open, always open. And yeah, never forget, Jesus loves you more than the world can comprehend. See you next week, Monday. Au revoir, which means bye in French.